People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
Helping low-income adult and senior residents age in place is definitely a goal of Eden Housing. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and on this episode of the Affordable Housing Podcast, we'll be focusing on the housing and related needs of seniors and other vulnerable populations, and what one organization is doing to have a major impact. Our guest is Mark Ricketts, President and CEO of the National Church Residences. Mark joined the organization in 2000 as Vice President and Chief Operating Officer for Housing, and now has operational responsibility for both housing and healthcare. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
So housing and healthcare are inextricably linked, am I right?
Well, they are in our mission. I can't say this was true 5 years ago, but we sure see the sweet spot today.
Excellent. Tell us about National Church Residences and your vision to continually improve communities by transforming the way that people live and thrive.
Well, I can tell you that the organization has always been in the healthcare space and has always been in the housing space. But we did not, until about 5 or 6 years ago, realize how these two could work together for good for our society. And it really came about as the Affordable Care Act was passed, and there became this challenge on how to provide for that triple aim, and that is a better value, lower cost, I guess is what that means, in a more appropriate setting, and yet still getting better outcomes. And we started playing in the space with hospitals and managed care organizations and with primary care physicians, listening as best we could, try to figure out how we could make a difference in the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. And so the last 5 years, we realized that we've got 26,000 seniors living in our communities that are what you would call living well, what the insurers call community living well. In other words, they're very inexpensive to the system. It's as they start having episodes, bad episodes with their health care, that the cost goes silly through the roof. And we thought, wow, if we could help those 26,000 people stay home, receive appropriate health care in a more appropriate setting, we could be part of the solution. So that was the daydreaming that happened 6 years ago. And now we look at ourselves as innovators trying to play in that space to achieve the triple aim.
So what does that actually look like? Do you have graduated degrees like assisted living and skilled nursing available for residents?
Yes, and that existed 5 years ago. So let's be honest, the care settings have not changed. It's the transition and the amount of time you spend in those different care settings. We've always had assisted living, always held skilled nursing, always had home health. Every community's got hospitals. And then we have this setting called independent living. And the overall goal of this system, and we've had primary care, so the overall goal of this system is getting people to access those different settings for getting better, or frankly, to be able to get to their primary care physician more often or having home health episodes more often so that they don't migrate to those higher levels of care. So I would say navigation has been the big change, identifying issues in our seniors living in an independent setting and having them get access and navigate through that more easily has been the secret juice over the last 5 years. So it's a soft skill is my point. It's not like we built a new building that made this better.
So it's people who advise and direct and help people make the right choices and navigate the system for them?
That is it. That's exactly it. And I would tell you where we had to build some tools. We had to reteach the skill set for our service coordinators, which is a social worker embedded inside of the independent living setting. They're living there with seniors. We used to hand out advice to elders, and now we say, can we help you navigate the world of healthcare? Can we help you communicate with your primary care physician? We can help you get access to your primary care, help them with transportation. It used to be an advice, and now we consider ourselves basically the missing daughter or the missing son, helping them get through the system.
It's amazing. I was that daughter for many years for my mom, and to think that there may have been someone there on the ground to help me through it would have been quite amazing.
Interestingly, every one of those care settings, hospitals have social workers, assisted living communities have social workers, nursing homes have social workers, but you know there's a 24-hour or a two-week period of time as you're moving from each of these, and they don't communicate one to the other.
Right.
So you're left with a bundle of goods when you're discharged from the hospital, and you don't know what to do with it.
Absolutely.
And you head home, and it's like, I can't read it. I don't know what they said. I can't recall. Confusion sets in, and that is consistent among the affordable customer or even the most wealthy customer. Healthcare for elders is a foreign world. Even paying for their healthcare services is unbelievably confusing. So we've decided to help be the glue in between each of those care settings.
Is it more or less confusing post the implementation of the Affordable Care Act?
I would tell you it's more confusing financially, less confusing in how to navigate the system. So if you're looking at caregiving, it's gotten better and better and better. And part of the Affordable Care Act was to incentivize healthcare organizations to invest in electronic medical records. So the information is increasingly available. It's being shared by the healthcare system. But the payment models are still ridiculously confusing. It's more confusing today because everybody's paying you slightly less for getting better outcomes. And so the who to pay that better outcome check to may not be the person who actually delivered the better outcome. And so there's right now we're not being paid for most of the navigation that we do. And we're trying to get to the payer window, talk with Medicare, Medicaid, or these insurance companies about, hey, if we're really doing a good job for your elders, reducing the overall cost of care, could you help me pay for my social work team that's embedded in there? Can you help me pay for my tools? We created a software called CareGuide. And CareGuide allows us to be disciplined in our approach to meeting with seniors, surveying seniors, stratifying seniors into different categories, and then delivering plans of care. All of that we have, I guess you'd say, conceived of, developed, implemented, trained. We're not being paid today to do that by anybody other than just our mission. In the future, we'll need to find a payer.
Sure. And hopefully that will all shake down in time.
That's what we're counting on.
National Church Residences develops and manages many types of older adult housing communities. Can you describe what and where these are?
We have been in existence for some 54 years, and initially we were doing our mission work on campuses for seniors that were what were called continuing care retirement communities. So a senior would move in when they were in their early 70s, live independently. They would age in that community and move into assisted living, skilled nursing, all on one campus. And we have 11 of those type campuses, and largely they're available to people who can afford it. And then after we started that growth in 1961, we moved into the space of doing affordable housing. That probably started in the early 70s. And from the early 70s until yesterday, we grew like nobody's business. So today we have 345 independent living affordable housing campuses in the United States, and that would be in 28 states and Puerto Rico. Our board really, really wanted to see that grow. Much more hidden to everybody has been the growth of our CCRCs. We now have 11 continuing care retirement campuses for seniors. We have about 500 beds of skilled nursing only in Ohio. We have around 500 rooms for assisted living in Ohio and Florida. We see about 680 people a day in our adult daycare centers. We have about 400 people a day that use our hospice provisions. We have another anywhere from 600 to 800 home health customers that use our services. We provide therapy to some 350 people a day, either on an inpatient or outpatient basis. So we are a care provider. Most of that specific care is happening in Ohio.
Mark, to what do you owe your success in reaching larger populations of older adults and seniors being successful across so many states?
And I would tell you that the success of our growth in affordable housing was a federal program that allowed organizations to go to scale. So one housing program for 50 states. We didn't have to learn 50 housing programs, each state being independent. And then the second thing was a board of directors that said, we need to do more. And not a little bit more. They drove us. I remember for about 10 years, from the year 2000 to 2010, they asked us to grow at 1,500 units per year. They were just saying, if we can do a little bit, why can't we do a lot? Very, very dynamic board. So the combination of one housing program nationwide and a board that wanted growth really had a lot to do with it. I guess I would say the next thing is we feel like we've been blessed, and we were blessed by a phenomenal leader. And I think most people in the industry know Tom Slemmer. He was our CEO for 31 years. He worked here for 37 years. Incredible ambition for the mission, and we're all thankful for his leadership. I would tell you we've had a more difficult time growing in all of those spaces over the last 10 years as the affordable housing population has been largely controlled by the low-income housing tax credit. That is state by state by state. It's a federal source, but the federal government gives it out to each state. They each write their own directed incentives at where they want you to spend the money. You need to be politically active in every state. And then the money that it takes to do affordable housing is no longer one program. It could be six or seven sources for every community. It's complexity drives us now to think about even perhaps shrinking our footprint. Instead of 28 states, maybe we can only be effective in 15 because you need to be so active locally.
Do you see a way in which that could be improved? I'm interested in your sort of broader perspective on what's working well in the area of older adult and senior housing and what really needs some revamping.
Well, if you're trying to go to scale, which we happen to believe makes sense, if you're trying to go to scale, the current system is really, really, really hard because you can't take what you learned in Ohio and apply it to California. It's like being in two different countries.
Especially California, right?
Especially California. Yeah, that's correct. But there is no current federal program for building affordable housing for seniors. And it's incredible to think about this, that we're adding 10,000 people a day to the over 65 club, and we currently don't have any production occurring nationally for affordable housing for seniors. It was a big deal in the 70s. It picked up steam through the 80s and beginning in the 90s and 2000s. It's grown to an almost a halt. And it's a sad thing when we're going to be going from 40 million seniors today to 80 million seniors 19 years from today, and we're not currently building anything new. So National Church Residences is not growing the way we should be with new housing. So what we're doing is we are buying existing housing stock, and we are what we're doing, what we call is transformational preservation. We're buying even some of the most tired affordable housing communities and saying our job is to make sure that that stays alive for the next 30 years. So while we're not growing, we're trying to reduce the shrinkage associated with what's happening in America. There's a lot of affordable housing communities that are sitting in ideal locations that would be perfectly converted to market rate. And we're saying, no, we want to get in there and save that. So we will buy anywhere from 10 to 15 communities this year and next year with the goal of preserving them for the affordable senior for the next 30 years. That's where most of our growth is happening today.
That's great. Are there other innovative solutions that National Church Residences is considering to address this huge wave of baby boomers, of which I am a member, that will soon have housing and supportive services needs?
Well, the biggest innovation, I would say, is it a murky water to get there. But our platform that we talk about nationally is that affordable housing is the perfect setting to deliver healthcare services to seniors. If we can bring healthcare, primary care, home health care, maybe even assistance with activities of daily living, if we can bring that into affordable housing, an unlicensed setting, but yet can get the kind of care that many people get in assisted living and in nursing homes, won't that be a lot less expensive? It's where seniors want to be. Can we get that service in there for less than the cost that it would take for them to migrate through those other systems? That is a big, big deal. Currently, the systems aren't built for that. Everybody would say when you become frail, you head to the nursing home. When you start having activities of daily living, you need to get out. You're at risk living by yourself. And we're now saying, no, let's get services to come in. When you think about a nursing home, the cost for a nursing home for a short-term stay, for a rehab, is $400 a day. and the cost of an independent living setting for seniors is $25 a day. My goodness, if I could just add a few more services into affordable housing, and maybe it goes from $50 a day to $60 or to $100, I'm still half the cost, 25% of the cost of a short-term stay in a nursing home. We believe housing will be a solution. There are a lot of bumps to overcome, but we think we've got something there, and the current reimbursement models don't make it easy, but we believe housing as a platform for services will be a solution.
Well, not to mention all the emotional and psychological implications of allowing older adults to age in place and not having to uproot them and move them to a completely different environment.
Well, to this end, you should know that we recently in Atlanta, maybe 30 days ago, held a conference which we called a symposium, where we're inviting not National Church residences people. We're trying to bring in all the industry experts and saying, how can we get, I guess you'd say, funders or collaboration to happen between hospital systems, payers, which in this case would be insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, CMS. How can we get all those players to begin to recognizing that housing is part of the solution for a healthcare problem? And so we held that in Atlanta. That was probably 3 weeks ago. And we believe that we can be a convener for bringing in all of these experts and begin them to let them see the solutions that we're playing around with. National Church Residences will never take it to scale. If you think about it, there's 40 million seniors right now that are over the age of 65, and 26,000 of them live with us. We're a drop in the bucket. So we need to be an instigator of change. We will not be able to implement all that change. I think our primary job is to make sure that the issues here and the solution that affordable housing provides, that they're elevated at a federal level. So I would tell you we need to get back to a federal production program that sees affordable housing with services as a solution and quit talking about just home health or just better primary care. If people don't originate a plan of care with a home health company or don't go see their primary care physician, you have no solution. Seniors need to be engaged in their health care, need to be engaged in managing well, and they're not living independently in the neighborhoods around. They're just one 911 call away from a big spend.
What states are making or considering innovative changes for older adult senior housing now or in the future, and where does California fit into that mix?
I'd have to be honest with you. We have an investment in California. We have about 1,000 or 1,500 seniors in California, and we are not actively in that game. We're not pursuing it. I know that Mercy is super active in that space. So is Bridge. Eden is active in that space. In that case, I'd have to say we're a follower. There's very unique healthcare rules and healthcare implementation in California. But once you leave the California space, there's a little bit more homogeneousness of it. We know what's going on in Illinois. We know what's going on in Michigan and in Georgia and in Ohio. Many of the systems, the ideas are shared around. I would tell you the most progressive state is Vermont. They've done some incredibly creative things. We have in Ohio a portfolio of 10 permanent supportive housing communities, which are actually apartment communities that were built with the idea of bringing people off the street, the formerly homeless, into our campuses. And the state of Ohio has been a big funder of saying, you mean you, an apartment developer, can build this, layer services in with these for these folks and have them quit presenting at the emergency room or quit having episodes of mental health episodes that end up costing the system money, typically through the penal system, if I'm honest. You can bring 100 people into an apartment community, allow them to become stable, and they have been giving us a lot of money to ferret that out. And we're now, our oldest community is now 13 years old. We have proven to the healthcare system and the state of Ohio that you can take an expensive customer, which is actually the folks underneath the bridge, put them in an apartment, give them keys, allow them to have access to primary care and to psychiatry, and we can allow them to live well and stable lives, and we have proven that. And that has now become a model we've taken to Georgia. And I know, again, Mercy and even, I don't know if Eden's doing this, I know Mercy and Bridge are both doing this in California. incredible solution. Well, what we're doing with the homeless population is not dissimilar to what we should be doing with seniors. They're both high spenders in the world of Medicare and Medicaid. And learning to manage that wonderful human being and manage them into a lifestyle of good health saves a ton of money. I mean, incredible amount of money, and we can be a big solution.
I am inspired. So where can I and other people listening go online for more information on what's being done in this arena and perhaps how they can help in terms of advocacy?
Well, first you can go to the National Church Residences website and www.nationalchurchresidences.org. And then secondly, over the next 30 to 60 days, we'll be introducing an online, maybe we'll call it a chat room, but a website with a chat room that will be called All Things Senior, which is an environment for all the professionals that support seniors, both in affordable housing and in the care environment, to come together and dialogue about how we can use affordable housing as a platform for services. That website will be coming up in the next 30 to 60 days.
Excellent. Mark, thank you so much for your time today and also for the work that you do every day on behalf of low-income seniors and others.
Thanks for letting me share.
Mark Ricketts, President and CEO of the National Church Residences. I'm Joanne Green. To hear prior episodes of the Affordable Housing Podcast, please visit edenhousing.org.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.